But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up together, and he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My friend, you have already been raised up. You don't need to be lifted up. But when we sing that, sometimes we feel like we're down. And so we want to bring ourselves to that place where we can allow him. But he's already raised us up. And when you remind yourself of that and see yourself seated with him, seated with him is a place of rest. We're seated with Jesus. We're resting in him. We don't have to work hard at getting anything from God. He's so merciful. He's so full of grace, unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't earn it. But he sent Jesus. Who could save us? Because he was sinless. And Jesus came and accomplished the will of the Father, even to the death on the cross. So God's done the heavy lifting, friend. See yourself seated with Jesus right now. See yourself lifted up. That will enable you to praise him. God gave me a message several years ago. And he said, title it, Praise Precedes the Victory. You got to see yourself for who you are in Christ. See yourself, begin to see yourself as God sees you, not as you see you in the surrounding situation that you have. God says, I want you to see yourself out of that. I want you to see yourself victorious. If you follow me, he says, I'll lead you into victory. But how many know you've got to follow him? It's an act of your will to follow him. He's done the heavy work. We just believe it. And then we follow him right into victory. But praise will precede your victory. Complaining is not going to get you a victory. Crying and squalling and bawling about it is not going to get a victory for you. But praise will. Do not ever underestimate the power of praise. It's a powerful force, more powerful than a nuclear weapon. It has the power to change headships in governments. It has the power to change the course of your life. But you've got to open your mouth and praise him. Come on, somebody give God a praise. Somebody give God a praise. I want you to praise him for something you've been believing for. I want you to see yourself with the end result. I want you to see yourself in victory right now. Oh, but preacher, you don't know how bad it is. I don't know how bad it is, but Holy Ghost does. And he says, you praise me and I'll bring the victory to you. How bad do you want the victory? How diligent will you be with what God has already done in your life? Because you've got to activate it. And it starts with our praise. Glory to God. That's why we take time every Sunday morning. We begin with praise. We begin with thanksgiving. We don't start out telling everybody our problems. When we have you greet one another, we don't tell you to go tell them how bad things were this week. No, go cheerfully greet them. Bless them. Smile. Encourage them. Tell them they've got the victory. Come on, shout one more time, a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you may be seated, but don't you sit down on the inside, because it's getting gooder and gooder. You know it'll get as gooder as you want it to. Do you realize it's up to you how good it gets? You are the architect of your own life. God is the master architect. He has designed intricately a perfect plan for every single person on this planet. But it's up to you to find out, discover it, and then act on it and bring it to pass. We just celebrated the Christmas season and the birth of Christ. But we went back and we looked at when the angel came and spoke to Mary and told her what God said to say. Let's look at that. So you can get a miracle understanding this portion of Scripture. It's not just the miracle that a little baby was born. That is a miracle. We don't minimize it. But God came to Mary. He sent an angel. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city. This is Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Sent by God. God sent Gabriel, said, go down there and talk to Mary. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw Gabriel, the angel, she was troubled at what he said. I've often been puzzled at that. It's like, a big angel comes in and she's puzzled at what he said and not the fact that there's a big angel standing in her house. And she considered what manner of greeting this was. I'd have been considering, whoa, an angel just showed up at my house. We'll sort out what he said in a minute, but whoa, Shazam. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. How many of y'all are in the kingdom of God? There's no end to the kingdom of God. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. Look at verse 37 and 38. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Friend, there's nothing going on in your life that's impossible for God. Man might not have the answer. The government might not have your answer. But God has your answer. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary, with those words she spoke, conceived Jesus. She said, let it be done unto me as you have spoken. What would have happened had she said, no, this is too far out for me? She would not have conceived Jesus. She had to agree with the word. And then she spoke it and said, let it be done unto me. Here's a nugget worth coming today for. You need to take God's word and let him do what his word says to you, for your life. And say to God, let it be done unto me what your word says. My word says by the stripes of Jesus, you already are healed. My word says, I pray that you might prosper in all things. Are you prospering in all things? His word says so. When you agree with that, you'll begin to see things change in your life. You have to put into motion God's word. We're not robots. God does not make you do anything. He didn't make you come to church this morning. He won't make you pray. He won't make you speak in tongues. He'll allow you to speak in tongues. He'll give you the utterance, but you've got to speak it. He's given you his word, and he wants you to take of it, partake of it, and watch the miracle of the word of God create and conceive a miracle in your life, just like it did in Mary's life. God is no respecter of persons. If he did that for Mary, he'll do whatever you need done in your life for you. He's a loving God. He's a powerful God. He's a caring God. He's put his nature inside of you if you're born again. How many of y'all are born again? If you're not, you're in the right place here today. We'll show you how you can get transformed out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And then raised up and seated right in the heavenlies, right with Jesus. Jesus isn't just sitting on one little seat. He's got a big bench. And we're all seated there. He has everything you need for 2019. He's put greatness inside of you. Oh, you young parents that have children, you need to speak. Tell them they have greatness inside of them every day. Before they go to school, you've got greatness. God's put greatness inside of you, my son, my daughter. Activate God's word in them before they go out into the world. When Jesus sent out the 12 and then the 70, he empowered them. You have to empower your children. Get them to see they've got the power within them. To go into that school, to go into that place where so much has changed over the decades. Not much of it for the better. But you know what? Our children can make it better. What do you suppose will happen if your child does a miracle? Your child does a miracle in school. Comes up to some crippled little boy and gets them up. Do you think that would get the attention of the teacher? How about the guidance counselor? How about the vice principal? Do you think the newspapers would be interested? In a nutshell, this ministry is about advancing God's kingdom through love, number one, and through power. Through love and power. God's word has got the power. God's word is full of love. God's word is love because Jesus is love and Jesus is the word. Friend, you've got what it takes to do miracles in your own life. Miracles in your job, miracles at your work, miracles in your neighborhood. There's a fella, what's his name? Miracles on the Mountain. Billy Burke. I love the name of that. When he goes to Kenneth Copeland's church, they call it Miracles on the Mountain. I've been there. It's not a mountain. It's flatter than a pancake. That Eagle Mountain makes, Gunstock makes Eagle Mountain look, or the other way around, makes Gunstock look like Everest. Remember that? We were there. We were barely going up an incline. I mean, we thought we were on flat ground. How many have ever been out there? Eagle Mountain. We're looking. It's like, where's the mountain? There's no mountain out there. I tell you what, it's a hill. But I tell you what, there's some people out there in that neck of the world that have a mountain of faith. They have a mountain of faith. And that's what I like. Why do I like faith? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is where it's at. I said, faith is where it's at. Well, wait a minute. Last week you said the word is where it's at. Well, the word is where it's at. Well, why can it be both? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I'm reminded that Paul said he had to stir himself up. Well, I'm stirring myself up. You got to stir yourself up. Days are over of lukewarm Christians. Bible says they'll be spewed out of God's mouth. He's not happy about lukewarm Christians. You be hot. Hot. I say you be hot on fire. Yeah. People need to be asking you every day, what's going on in your life? Why is things changing? Why do you look and act different? Because I'm of my Father. I've got the DNA of my Father in my spirit. I said I've got His DNA. I was made and fashioned after Him in His likeness and in His image. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I stand boldly before the throne of God. And in my time of need, I ask Him and I receive. And you can too. It's up to you. It's up to you. 2019 is up to you. Are you going to take by storm? Are you going to take this area? We've got to be determined. We're not going to be Sunday Christians. We're going to be 24/7 Christians. Every day. Everywhere you go. You go to the gas pumps. You're on fire for God. You go to the supermarket. You need to be looking, listening to what the Holy Spirit says. And not just about get these lemons, not those. But about what can I do here to let my light shine for Jesus Christ? What can I do to help somebody in here that's in need? How many of y'all know somebody in Hannaford, when you're in there, is in need of something? Maybe you've got to come up behind them and buy their groceries for them. Oh, but Pastor, I don't have any money. Well, then you got to get into the Word of God and find out how to get more money. Because His Word is full of answers to your problems. Come on. He said He prays that you prosper in all things. I need to have more so I can give more. You're going to sow more. That's right. That's right. Come on. Glory to God. I preached myself happy and I haven't even started. Glory to God. Well, don't disconnect. You need to connect. Come on. Come on. We're talking about vision. We started last week about vision. How many of y'all know who Helen Keller was? Helen Keller. She still is. She's just somewhere else. How many of y'all know she was blind? She made this statement. She said the only thing worse than being blind is having your eyesight and having no vision. She said that. Can you imagine a blind person having the wherewithal to say that? Having your eyesight, but having no vision. You've got to have a vision for your life. And it's not your own vision. Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Those desires are His desires. They become your desires. And you want to fulfill those things. God has a plan and a purpose for every person. We see that over in Jeremiah 29. And he's interested in the outcome of your life, that it be a good one. How many know it's better to finish a thing than to begin it? But you do have to begin it. If you're going to be in the Olympics, you've got to start training before you get there. You won't get there if you don't start training. You've got to start. Well, we're a training ground here. We got to train you up. We got to train our young people up. We got to train our old folk up. To not think that, well, I'm just too old to make a difference anymore. I'm not looking at you for any particular reason. You're a baby. You're just a baby. I can look at you. I just happened to fix my eyes on you. I was no meaning there. What was I saying? It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. You must discover God's purpose for your life, and you must seize it. I want to help you get a couple of nuggets today, golden nuggets out of God's Word. I said out of God's Word. You didn't come here to hear me. You came to hear the Word of God. God says He watches over His Word to perform it. He said He confirms this Word with miracles. How many need a miracle? I got both my hands up. Well, I'm going to find it right in here. And I'm going to appropriate His Word just like Mary did. I'm going to agree with His Word. And that miracle is going to be impregnated in me. And I'm going to give birth to that miracle. I'm going to give. I'm responsible for that. What did God say over to Joshua? How many remember Joshua? Yeah, Joshua chapter 1. Turn there. Come on, Holy Spirit. I'm following you. Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 6 just because I like that and because I can. I got the microphone. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be weak. Be strong. Don't be complaining. Be strong and of good courage. That means you know the end result is a good one. Don't be weeping and crying and saying, this doesn't look like it's going to work out. In the natural, it may not look like it's going to work out. But my God says, all things are possible to him who believes. Come on, the walls are preaching right here. Be strong. Only be strong, verse 7. And be very courageous. He's reiterating. Now take it up a notch. You be stronger and stronger and stronger, and now you be very courageous. Some of you got to be very courageous about what's going on in your life. You're hearing a doctor's report. You've got to be very courageous in believing what God says over what that doctor's report on that piece of paper says. You got to be very courageous, God says. He goes on to tell us how we get there. He says, verse 8, this book of the law. So you can just substitute right there. God's word. God's word. God's word shall not depart from where? Your mouth. That could be a problem for some people that haven't been speaking God's word out their mouth. That may be why they're still in the same situation they've always been in. Because they're speaking the situation. They're using their authority and handing it over to the enemy to allow him to enforce that you stay where you're at. Or that it even goes down a slippery slope. But God says, I'm different. I'm not like Satan. I'm God. This book of the law, this book shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it every Sunday. Just every once in a while. When you feel the unction, when you feel good about it. No, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That means in the midnight hour when you wake up and that thing is dogging you right and those thoughts are coming and coming. You need to get your mouth in gear and you need to speak to that thing and tell it to go. You got to align your mouth with the Word of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you'll have the victory. That was worth coming right here. If you don't hear anything else, if you can get that and apply it, you'll be in victory. You shall meditate in it. Who's meditating? God? Oh, God, just meditate it for me. I just don't like meditating your word. You do it for me. It's your word. No, that'll get me squat diddly. That'll get me nothing. I've got to believe it. I got to hear it. And I got to mutter it. I got to speak it. This is how we birth this church. This is how we birth our miracles. This is how we get anything. Kids get off course. You take the word of God and you begin to speak it over your children. Now, I had asked you to fill out some cards on what's affecting you the most, top three things in your life. And I've prayed over them and I continue to pray over them. I keep them with me. And God's begin to show me some things and he's begin to put new messages inside of me for this year for you. I personally believe that everything you put on that paper by the end of this year is going to be victorious for your life. That's what I believe. If you don't believe it, then it's not going to come to pass come next December 31st. But if you do, and you begin to meditate on it every single day, you can hook up with me, and you don't even need me, but I'm willing to, But you can change the course of your life. If you observe to do, we all have a part to do in meditating day and night according to what is written in it. Because the word is miraculous. It's not just words on page in a print. There's miracle working power in the pages, in the words, because these are God-breathed. When God said, light be, light is still happening. Nobody can stop that from happening. For then, if you observe to do according to just a little bit every Sunday, know all that is written. Friend, that's why you have to find scriptures on what your situation is. If you can't find them, you ask my wife, you ask me, you ask somebody else that does this. But everybody needs to do this. And you don't have to plaster them around your house like we do. That's okay. If that bugs you, I just won't invite you to my house. But we put it there for a reason. Not to show we're religious. There's no religious spirits in my house. I won't let them there. And I tell you what, before anybody comes in my house that I know has got situations going on, we begin to decree and declare, those spirits will not come in my home. And we'll put on soft music that is, it doesn't have to even have words, but just we allow God's atmosphere to be created. And our guests that come in, it doesn't matter what they've been going on in their life, they're not bringing that stuff to trouble us. We won't let it. You have to guard the anointing in your life. I have to guard the anointing in my life. You know how many times the devil wants to take me down? Every day he wants to take me down. He wants to take this ministry down. He doesn't want you to get better. He doesn't want you to have victory. But you've got to guard it. For you need to observe according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Who's making your way prosperous? Who's making your way prosperous? Who is making your way prosperous? You are. And then you will have good success. God's done the heavy lifting, but you've got to agree with it. And then you've got to begin to speak it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got financial problems? Meditate on the word of God, not on the financial problem. You begin to decree and declare, I have enough money at the end of the month to pay all my bills. Don't stop there. I have more than enough so I can give to somebody that's in need. I can help them get their project done. I can help get a car to them. I can help buy a house for somebody. Don't look at me like I got three heads. This is the word of God. He said you got to meditate on it day and night. I'm giving you the word of God. I'm giving you the truth. Bible says, Jesus said, the truth that you get and you act on set you free. How many need to be free here today? There's some things in my life I got to get free of. Why? Because the enemy is relentless. He will not stop. You can lie down and pretend you're dead. He won't give up there. He'll come put his foot right on your neck, try to squash that breath out of you. No, you stand up. He's under your feet. He's been disarmed. He's been defeated. He's got no arms. He's got no feet. Come on. He's just got bad breath. You might need to tell him. Where there's no vision, Proverbs 29. What are you believing for this year? I'm believing for more ministry. I'm believing for hundreds to come to know the Lord. I'm believing for thousands in this region. We're not the only church here that proclaims Jesus. I'm believing with the other pastors that we're going to change this area. We're buying this building. God's provided it. I believe it's paid off. I decree it's paid off. $1 million paid off. The insurance company had to come and look at the building this week. It came a couple days ago. And it was a woman, and she's walking through, and she's like amazed. Wow, wow, wow. And she says, well, how's things going? I said, we're growing. She says, really? She says, I go so many places where they tell me things are going down and down and down. I said, we're going up, baby. We're going up. Dear Catholic girl. But she's asking me what I believe, and she's agreeing with everything I'm saying. She says, that's right, it's Jesus. People need to be saved. She's saying it. I don't know if things are changing in the Catholic Church. In her church, it's changing. She says, I got the best job. I get to go to churches and talk to people. She says, I love what you're doing here. She saw the nursery and the classrooms, and she says, this is awesome. I said, yeah, and we're going to make it bigger. We're going to make it bigger. When you leave here today, you look across the street at that building. Wouldn't that be cool if we had that one? That's 200,000 square feet. Look, there's no limit to God. If your heart's right and you want to get involved in what God's doing, you're going to keep going up. That's the secret. Let him shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let him say continually, let the Lord be magnified who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You want prosperity? You want finances in your life? You favor what God favors. It says in Ephesians 6:8, what you do good for somebody else, God will do for you. Get your eyes off the sparrow. Get your eyes off on somebody else and see how you can bless them, how you can help them, how you can bring them up. God's watching. When it comes to prayer, he says, don't stand out in the streets so everybody can see how holy you are. But he does say, you ask and you'll receive. Come on. Some of you just haven't been asking. I'm asking bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes I don't even dare tell you what I'm asking for. Because you're, you know, everybody, it's all relative to where we are. I understand that. But God's a big God. He's a big God. And he wants the best for you. He wants the outcome of your life. I mean, if Jesus tarries and you go by the way of the grave, he wants your funeral service to be a party. Everybody was so thankful they got to know you and they got to meet you and they saw how you touched their lives and the lives of all the people around. You can begin writing your funeral service by what you do every day, by what you say every day. You can write that. And it will come from all the different people. Come on. Come on. What do you want your funeral service to look like? What if Jesus doesn't come for 100 years? I don't think I'm going to live to be 100 and that old. I'm not believing it, so that isn't going to happen. I don't think I want to. But I tell you what. When they do my funeral service, I want it to be a party. I don't want people to be crying. I want them to be excited. I want somebody to be sharing with the people at the funeral that Jesus is Lord and they can get saved at the funeral. I had to do a funeral service years ago before I was even anything. My cousin passed away and his wife called me and said, I want you to do the funeral. I said, I've never done a funeral before. She said, it'll be therapeutic for you. That's what she said. I said, dear Lord, I tried. I told her no. I told her no. Talking about Connie. I said, no, I don't want to do it. She says, you'll do it. Sometimes you need somebody persistent in your life that knows because God put that in her. And here's why. Her husband was sick. And I went up and visited him. And I sat there. And she probably heard our conversation. And I told him about Jesus. That was before I really knew about healing. So it was like I wanted to get him saved before he passed on. And I had just met you, and you went to the funeral, didn't you? Because we went out to dinner on Church Street after. I remember that. But I was just a baby Christian. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. He gave me the whole thing. It was the plan of salvation. It was on a light note. He used to go fishing with my uncle, and I was making, you know, jokes about he's probably up there fishing in heaven in the perfect waters, catching the big ones. But then at the end of it all, there was probably 200 people there, standing room only, way out around the corner. I couldn't even see everybody. And God put it on my heart to have an altar call. And I did it by raise your hand. I bet there was 15 people that put their hand up. Are you kidding me? I never seen that before. At a funeral. So now at every funeral I do, I talk about salvation. Say, look, they're not dead. They just changed place. They went to the airport and they were departing. They're not arriving. They departed, but they arrived in heaven. Come on. Funerals can be fun. Get people in the back door. Get people in the front door, side door. We just want to reach the world for Jesus and his goodness. Proverbs, where did I tell you to go? What verse? 7? No, that's not where I wanted you to go. 18. Thank you. 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But happy, how many want to be happy, is he who keeps the law. If you keep the word, happiness will be there. Do what he says. God is never going to ask you to do anything. Get this. He's never going to ask you to do anything that makes sense in the natural. He doesn't. It's like it makes your head go tilt. When your head goes tilt, you have to trust in the one that can bring it back up. He wants you to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Our understanding is so puny that we don't want to make our understanding final authority in our life. We want God's word final authority in our life. Okay. There's my introduction. All right. You've got to seize the vision for your life. Seize it. What does that sound like it means? Seize. Take it. Grasp it. Go after it. You've got to go after it. God's not going to arm wrestle you down and make you do anything. He won't do that. He's a gentle God. When it comes to his kids, he's gentle. When it comes to the devil, well, we can talk about hell and the lake of fire, and I'm going to. It's a real place. All of hell's going to end up in the lake of fire. It's not a place you want to go. But you got to seize the vision. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. You've got to have the desire in your heart. In other words, it's got to be an act of your will. God will not override your will. So you've got to desire for better. You've got to desire for what his vision is for your life. Your desire for different results has got to be stronger than complacency. In other words, if you don't want to change, God's not going to make you change. And nobody else will either. You've got to take control of your own life and reach inside your spirit man and find out what it is that God's wired you to do. Even you older people, there are things, you know, that we go through life and there's different seasons. And different seasons bring different things. They bring different giftings. God will gift you for, like when he got a hold of me at 30 years of age, I didn't know nothing of anything. But he said, I've called you to teach. So things had to change in my life in order for me to go forward with his plan. If I had said, no, I want to keep doing what I want to do, then I'd still be there. But when I knew it was the voice of God. You've got to hear and know it's the voice of God. Now, back then, I didn't have a lot of hearing of God. I didn't. I wasn't hearing God on a regular basis back then. It was long time in between, years. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? But I knew that this was my Father in heaven, the creator of everything, that spoke to me. And it busted me up and I fell to the ground. Because I knew He got a hold of me. You got to have a desire. I had the desire that night on Mount Union, Pennsylvania. I had the desire to know, why am I here? And I asked him, I said, God, what's my place in this world? And he showed me. He told me. And that was it. I heard him audibly. You don't have to believe that if you don't want. That's okay. But I've never heard him in that way ever again. He just said, I've called you to teach. But as years progressed, I'd be in a service, and the person that was doing the service spoke to me. Well, they had an altar call, and I get up there, and this one time, it was a woman, and she just said one word to me. She spent 15 minutes with somebody else, or 10 minutes, giving them everything. She came to me, she said, teach, and she moved on. Some of you were in that service. You were. It's happened several times where they go, okay. See, God will tell you what your purpose is. Other people can confirm it. Don't get that backwards. It's not up to me to tell you what your purpose is. It's not up to your spouse. It's not up to your kids or the school or the college or the government. It's up to Holy Spirit. When you know you heard from him, now other people will confirm it. God's an orderly God. He does not change. Other people can confirm it, but they're not going to give you, I've called you to do such and such, and then you got to wait on God to hear from him. That's backwards. That's wrong. Just get rid of that. Don't be listening to people just because they say, I'm a prophet or I'm a prophetess or I'm, you know, Bozo the Clown. You don't need to listen to what they're saying. If you haven't heard from God yet, then you just put that aside. God's not going to get it backwards. He's not dyslexic. Is that a word? He's not confused. Okay. Proverbs 20. Boy, we're having fun. So I want to get to you. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man, your spirit, your reborn spirit, is the lamp of the Lord. That's where you're going to hear from him. That's where the light goes on. That's where the instruction comes to. It's going to go from there up to your soulish realm, because we live in need to use our soulish realm and our five physical senses to live in this earth. But it's going to start in here. It's going to be birthed out of here. Mary heard it, and she birthed it out of her heart. And she became conceived with Jesus, our Savior. But she had to hear it right from the throne room, right from Gabriel. And then she had to believe it, and then she said, be it done unto me, as you have said. It's the same way with your life. You need to say to God, I want to hear from you. And when you hear from you, then the next thing out of your mouth needs to be, Father, I'll do it. Don't talk to other people. You know, when the Bible, when Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine, he's talking about that very thing. When you get divine revelation from God, don't go putting it on Facebook. Don't go be telling everybody. You go to Holy Spirit. You get that confirmed so that you understand in your spirit and in your mind. And then you can go to counsel with men and women. You can talk to your pastor. You can talk to those that have a track record. Don't just go up to anybody. What do you think about it? You need to be very mindful of who you talk to about the precious pearls that God puts into your life. So we've got to seize the vision. Okay. It stirred in me to start with this example today that a lot of you have written down on cards. And it has to deal with salvation of a loved one. Salvation of somebody else in your life, whether it be a parent or a child or an aunt or an uncle or even just a good friend that doesn't know the Lord. And a lot of people wrote down that that's something you're concerned about. And so I want to give you some scriptures so that you need to write these down, because these scriptures are ones you can pray over that loved one. And you can believe God. Okay? I want you to see in... First, I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians. Because sometimes our approach has not been right in trying to reach them. We've done it in a wrong way. We've done it in our own carnal way. You know, you're screwing up in your life and you're going to hell. That's not the way. We're not to judge anybody. The Bible tells us over and over, don't you be judging people. The judging is reserved for God himself. You've been commanded and commissioned to love. So in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe. It's talking about Satan. He's blinded the people that haven't gotten saved. You want them to just hear it and immediately agree with you and believe it and receive it, but they've been blinded. They don't know that they're wrong. Not all of them. Some of them do. Some of them tell you they're happy and they're going to go to hell and party with their friends. Well, there's not going to be any partying. They won't even see their friends. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. That gives us a key to what we're to do. We're to let the light of Jesus Christ shine on them. The light of Jesus Christ to shine on them. Not to condemn them. Not to judge them. I was listening to I don't remember his name, but he was on the radio and just caught my ear the way he was talking. I said, this man is a spirit-filled man. And so I listened. And it was one of those shows where, you know, it was on the radio, and the guy was asking him questions, and he had written a book, and it was about sexuality today and how it's pretty goofed up, but accepted and more. And this man that hosted the show asked the man, he says, what would you say if your son or your daughter came to you and shared, you know, that things are different than what you want them to be? You know, in other words, you know, I'm gay. And he said, the first thing you need to do is thank them for telling you. Thank them, because that's a hard thing for them to do. And then listen, say, tell me, listen, don't come against them. And then the man even quoted what Billy Graham. I mean, I like Billy Graham. If you don't, well, too bad. You're probably in the wrong place. Because I happen to admire that man. And he's with my Father in heaven right now. And somebody asked him once, what would you do if your son came to you and said, Dad, I'm gay? He said, I would love him all the more. It's the love of God that will change people's hearts. It's the love of God that leads men into repentance, the goodness of God. Okay, so we see that it's Satan that has blinded the minds of people. Go with me to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll get this out before we leave here. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God has promised his son. He's promised his son. He sent his son. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Aren't you glad that he didn't just, you know, go 30 days and say, I'm done with you? He was long-suffering. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Now, 2 Peter 3:9 says it about the same thing in a little bit different way. 2 Timothy, I didn't have it written down, but it's 2 Timothy 3:9, and then it's First Peter. Well, anyway, I don't have it written down, and I'm not sure if that's it. But he says that he's not willing that any perish. So God's heart is that everybody be saved. God's heart is that everybody be saved. So that loved one that you've been believing for, know that God wants them saved more than you do. He loves them more than you do. He sent Jesus for them. So when you connect with God, you connect with His Word, when you connect talking to Him, prayer, talk to Him about that person or persons in your life that you want to see saved. And agree with His Word that He wants them saved. Hey, Father, I know You want them saved, just like I want them saved. Open their eyes. Go to Ephesians 1. I'm just going by the Spirit now. Ephesians chapter 1. Because their eyes have been blinded, we just saw. Their eyes have been blinded. And so in 1 Corinthians... Let me see if I wrote that one down. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 2:4. Hold that thought and let's go to 1 Timothy 2:4. It's right after Thessalonians. All right. We're going to get this out because this is so important. See how the enemy wants to try to screw it up? Because this is talking about people's lives. This is talking about people's salvation. All right. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. That's verse 3 of 1 Timothy 2. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Notice it's the knowledge of the truth. The truth has been written down in the Word of God. And so we've got to find the Word of God. We've got to find scriptures that will that we can plead our case, so to speak. God watches over His Word to perform it, to make sure it comes to pass. Okay? So Ephesians 1 is where we want to go next. I told you Ephesians 1, and that's where I want to go now. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Well, back up to verse 15, because it's good. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So he's talking to Christians here. He's talking to you. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wants you to know His Word. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. We saw that Satan has blinded the minds of those that don't believe. So you can pray, you can talk to the Lord, you can write that scripture down and say, Father, and put the person's name in there. I pray that their eyes would be open to the knowledge, to receiving the knowledge of the Word of God. That would show them your goodness. That one I quoted a minute ago. It's the goodness of God that leads men unto repentance. That's important that we don't try to judge them, but we love them. We will love them into the kingdom. We will not judge anybody into the kingdom. So don't waste your time and do more harm than good. You'll ruin relationships with family members. They'll run away and they'll never talk to you again. You don't want that. You don't want that. More than likely, if this is a child, more than likely it's not going to be you that brings them in. It's not going to be your voice. You've had 18 years and they're split. So what do you do? Father, Bring some people into my daughter's life. Bring some people into my son's life that can talk to them, that they'll listen to like that. I've shared before, you know, back years and years and years ago, you know, I tell my son something for a month. He won't listen to me. And the very same thing I've been saying for a month, one of his friends says it, and all of a sudden, it's just like the light goes on. Oh, that's good. It's like, Dad's been saying it for a month. But he wasn't receiving it from me. Recognize when people aren't receiving from you. When you try to share Christ with somebody, don't try to hammer them. That's exactly what you'll do, is hammer them. God doesn't hammer people into heaven. He loves people into heaven. He already showed us he sent Jesus. And so we don't try to. If you sense that they're apprehensive, just back off. Let them change the subject. Just love them. Pray for another opportunity. You'll never get another opportunity if you hammer them. You think you're going to do it your way, you're going to lose. You do it God's way, you're going to win. Now, we don't see the fruit of everybody coming to Christ. You know, when we have an altar call and people come to the Lord, for years, that person's grandmother's been praying for them. They've been set up. But they've been set up the way God sets things up. And then somebody else said something to them. And then all of a sudden the light went on. You know, I just had the opportunity and the blessing to be the one to see it come to fruition. But by the same token, you have prayed for people that didn't come to the Lord in your presence, but that they did. There's a friend of mine. He wasn't really a friend. He was a business acquaintance. And he was a rough, tough guy. It's just like, and years later, I mean decades later, he comes riding into town, and he's sharing the gospel. It's just like, what happened to him? And he was going through, finding on Facebook where his classmates, I mean, he's about my age, and he's going back years. And I'll take you out to lunch. And he starts telling them about Jesus, and they're like, what happened to you? We used to do drugs together. We used to get drunk together. We used to ride bikes together and do stupid things. What happened to you? Jesus. Did he get every one of them saved? No. But he planted the seed. God didn't call you to save anybody. He sent Jesus to do that. But you plant the seeds. Paul says that one plants the seed, one waters the seed. You could be in the watering part. And then God brings the harvest. God brings the increase. We just happen to be there at the right time. Peter was there at the right time. He's just denied Christ three times. He's in a mill of a hess. I don't even know him. I wasn't with him. And then on the day of Pentecost, he's out there in the streets and thousands of people are getting saved. That's a radical transformation. He loved the Lord, but he was scared. He thought they'd nail him to a tree if he agreed. You and I probably feel the same way. He saw how they were treating him. But God didn't give up on Peter, did he? And you know, I read in the Word where three different times Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? I believe he did that three times to just erase those three times he denied him. That's just me. But you take it for what it means to you. I believe that's what it means to me. And I'm not where Peter's at, but I'm attaining to go there. You know, he preached and he taught, but he denied. There's been times in my life, years ago, not now, but years ago, where I denied. You know, I didn't want to tell people I was a Christian because I was having fun in sin. It wasn't that bad. My mom and dad are sitting here. They're like, oh, dear Lord, what's he going to say? All right. Matthew 18:18 talks about binding and loosing. You have authority. Before you hold your place there, go to Mark 16. By the Spirit of the Lord, go to Mark 16. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What do you preach to them? Gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Doesn't say go into the world and judge anybody, does it? This is what Jesus is saying. He who believes in me and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs might follow. Occasionally. No, they will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. It's you that's got to cast demons out when they come into your sphere of influence. It's up to you to cast them out in the name of Jesus. He gives you the authority. He gives you the power. Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you a power and authority over all scorpions. And that's reference to Satan. And nothing by any means shall harm you. He's given you the authority. What are you doing with the authority? You have a loved one. You need to be binding Satan and getting him out of their life. Loosing the angels. Loosing, you know, believing God bring people into their life that they'll listen to. That'll love on them. You know, Barbara and Steve Arbo's son, you know, on his honeymoon, he went down on a missions trip. And where did he go? Ecuador? Went to Ecuador. And the place they got hooked up with, it was a bar. They didn't go in drinking every day. On Wednesday night, the bar wasn't open, and they had church there. But people would come to the bar on Wednesday night thinking that it was a bar. And they come in, and they're getting fed. They're getting drinks. But they're getting drinks of the Holy Ghost. And then he wrote home and told his mother that he spent all his money on prostitutes. You know, if you're a mother here today, that's not something you want your son writing home about. But what it was is they were buying prostitutes out of prostitution. They buy them for the night, and they'd share the love of God with them, share the gospel. And then they would, and they had a good track success of it, and then they'd get them out of that town, get them away, and they'd bring them to a place that had provision for them. Had a place for him to stay. Had a place that could feed him. Had a place that had things of God to get these girls out of that. So if your kid writes home and says, I'm spending it on prostitutes, ask questions before you hang up. Last scripture I'm going to look at. 2 Timothy 3. And I've just given you a couple. There's so many that you can stand on for believing for a loved one to come to know the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Say profitable. All of God's word is profitable. And then he describes some of the things it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That last one, if you're born again and you've been listening to this message on your loved ones and how to reach them, then you got to go to the Word, because the Word's profitable to train you in righteousness. That means doing it God's way. That's what righteousness means. You have a right standing with God, and it's doing things God's way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of being and doing things. When you do it his way, you'll have great success bringing people into the kingdom. And that's the key. So has that helped anybody? Because a lot of people put things on those cards that said, I have a loved one. I have one that was, you know, born again, but they're away from the Lord now. Same thing. You take the word of God, you put their name in it, you write it, you write out a petition to God and believe it and put scripture in there. These scriptures are some great ones. There's many others that you could use. And then you do it how often? Joshua, he gave instruction, do it day and night. So I would encourage you to start in the morning and pray over this person or these people. And then at nighttime, before you go to bed, you bring them before the Lord again. And you pray over them. You believe. You thank God. You begin to praise. You begin to thank him. Don't say, oh, they're just going down a worse road. Don't speak those words. You speak what God says. Amen? Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, before we close, if you just bow your head and close your eyes, I just want to make sure. Is there anybody here today that does not know Jesus Christ? You've never said yes to him. You've never asked God into your life. If you're here today and you'd like to make that decision, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody? I don't want to ever take for granted that everybody knows the Lord just because they're in church. Is there anybody? You say, oh, preacher, I'd be embarrassed if I raised my hands and people knew. Well, you know, Jesus was hung naked on that cross. He was beaten in front of everybody publicly. And if you're not willing to now declare that you're a believer, well, then there's something wrong there. Maybe it's fear. Well, we'll take authority over that fear because Satan doesn't want you to get saved. He doesn't want you to get close to God. He wants to pull you as far as way, and he's been having his way. Is there anybody before I close? Well, I don't see any hands, but you come back. I don't know if this was your first time. I don't know. I don't know everybody that well. And so I just want you to know that this is a church where you can hear the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to set you free. It's not my eloquent preaching. It's not that eloquent. I stumble and stutter sometimes, but you know what? It's the Word of God, and that's what's going into your heart. I pray every time I talk to anybody, I pray that they would hear God, not hear me. Don't look at me. Don't think that he's got something. I've got a lot, but you want the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, why don't you stand with me, and we'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you for these dear people that came out this morning, as cold as it was. But Father, I pray that you're warming it up before we go out in the parking lot. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that it's gone into the good ground of these people's hearts, that they've had ears to hear. Father, I come into agreement with every single person here today that has been believing for somebody they love or they know to come to the Lord. I hook up my faith, Father. I'll continue to pray over those cards and agree with them. That their loved ones come to you, Father. Father, open the eyes of those people. Open their eyes, Father, right now. I pray that they'd encounter you right now, Father. Wherever these loved ones are, Father, come into their presence right now. Envelop them with your love. Bring people into their lives right now. Speak to them this day, because today is the day of salvation. Father, show them your goodness. Reveal them your goodness. May we love on them like never before, regardless of what situations they're in, regardless of the sin they've gotten themselves into, Father. You'll take care of the sin problem. Help us to love them. Father, we love you and we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word that goes forth and it'll accomplish what you desire. It'll prosper where you send it. So it's going all over the internet right now. And I thank you, Lord. And on CDs at some point in time, we thank you, Lord, that people are going to hear this and it's going to change their lives forever. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you are dismissed. God loves you and we love you. And tell somebody and show somebody the love of God this week.